Pledge of Allegiance by Kelvin Merlila.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next thing on the agenda is the presentations. We have a distinguished visitor here first, though, in Mary Hollow, who would like to be moved up in the order and be our leadoff hitter tonight. So, per request, no one has any issues with me moving the new business item number 2 to the front of the line? All right. I will do that then. New business item number 2 is the pre-prepared gateway trail system vault toilet deviation request. A little bit of background here. At the trailhead there's no services currently, and the trail group, Pre-Prepared Trail Group, would like to put in a vault toilet, which currently is against city standards. Normally I would say we don't want to start this precedent or go this. This is one place where it kind of does make sense due to the year-round nature that wouldn't be available with having a standard toilet there, a toilet system. The trail system will be exactly the same as the year round, and the vault toilet has that capability, whereas that another one doesn't. Any further information on that, I'll turn over to Mary for her request.
Thank you, and thanks for moving me up in between soccer practices, so I really appreciate this. Kelly summed it up pretty well, but this, we intend, obviously, for year-round use of the site. There, of course, is no water sewer services at that site at the moment, and I guess other important thing to point out is that Pre-Prepare currently has other vault toilets that we maintain in other parks, and could just easily add this one to our list, so we're asking for
Also, Mary didn't address it there, but there is, the Pre-Prepared Group has a maintenance plan for that, so that will be cared for by them and drained. Any sort of maintenance is handled by the trail group, so you're aware of that is part of their.
Yeah.
Do you have any comments on this?
Just, is everyone kind of tracking where this is located? It's like that.
The old Smelter Dam Road.
Yeah.
Think of that going down that and then off that a little to the left, there's kind of out there.
Way over there.
So.
By daylight.
Yeah.
In my head.
That road doesn't really. The dam is taken out, but that old road there's eventually going to be services somewhat close, hopefully, but we don't have a time frame on that. And this is, again, the year round nature of this kind of calls for this, whereas some of the other cities have stuck to their guns on this one, and I get it. What you run into, Kevin, is that they're seasonal. They have to turn them basically off. Literally. I know that the trail group intends to have this trail be year round.
Yeah, it's in a unique location. I think it's pretty far separated from any utilities, and it just generally makes sense for a trail system to have a vault toilet. The city of Helen has one that would be a trail. This particular location, it does make sense. This isn't, a municipal park in the middle of a subdivision, and as you'll see in the parks plan, where we have an opportunity to hook in and do it. This is more of an outlying trail system, so that's why we thought it might be a good idea to be able to consider.
That being said, is there any public comment on the request? Seeing no public comment, council.
I had a question about this because it is a deviation from the sewer ordinance. Would we want to review that to make it more viable that if this is needed in the future, that Public Works Group would make the decision?
Or there was language in there prior that we removed as 200 feet, I think, was the distance that we allowed for systems. But given some of the development and things that were coming forth, we took it out. I think the code is in a good place. I think this is just such a unique situation to have such a large trail system. I don't honestly, a case-by-case basis would probably be best as opposed to
another spot where we could certainly look at it because of the proximity to Kennedy Park. We haven't, but
that Highland Meadows subdivision, we did have them stub out sewer and water. So we're going to have a conversation on that. The thought in that park is to have plumbed facilities there, so it would alleviate that for their trail system. Those are hopefully also going to be playground equipment and stuff, so kind of a high use, but that would require kind of the same that we have in winterization and the locking it up. But we do have a plan over there, at least.
Yeah, I just didn't know if you all could then also potentially modify that.
Yeah, you know, at first I was kind of reluctant to vault toilets just because of the maintenance, and then I quickly realized they really need them at parks. And so now I'm a big fan, and as much services as we can put in as many accessible places as possible, I would be an advocate for. Now, that said, I, you know, understand the seasonal nature of plumbed facilities in parks, and in Montana, that's a real issue. So there's just not a really easy answer, I guess, but I do think this one especially because of how isolated it is. And who knows, I mean, once the subdivisions kind of close in on that park, hopefully at the edges of both of those subdivisions, we'll be looking at plumbed facilities within those subdivisions that might be, you know, service the park as well, because they'll be right next door. So, but for now, I mean, that's going to be several years. For now, I think this makes the most sense.
Any other comments?
I don't know. Doing a vault toilet versus a plumbed is, you know, down the road is vandalism and all that, which would probably be a lot higher with somebody that's plumbed. Somebody goes in there and breaks the water line, does whatever, you know, we have a little problem down at the Kennedy saw it from. Well, I'm going to say what they did. Anyway, so I
I have a motion to approve the toilet deviation request, which sounds fun just to say.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Mayor. We'll move back to the original schedule now. First on there is a presentation from the East Town Public Schools levy request. We have Dan Rissman from the superintendent with us for a little informational session, for a little Q&A. Floor is yours.
I'm just counting here, that's why I can't do
it. Counting?
Yeah. How many pieces?
You, with your shoes on?
Oh.
I had to take mine off.
I think I counted right. Good evening, Mayor Harris and members of the council. It's been a while since I've been in this room, and I'm going to apologize. I'd like to make more frequent visits just to stay in touch with what's going on in the city. A lot of our business with school district overlaps stuff from my own city. And I spent plenty of time with Kevin and Kelly and various interactions around town. school's got a significant amount of money from the federal government, and at the time, there were very few strings attached to that money, but now here after COVID's over, we're finding out there's all kinds of strings attached to it, and we're going back in our books trying to report on things that we bought 3 and 4 years ago, which is a little bit of a challenge. But the long and short of it is that ESSER funding or COVID-related funding, it needs to be spent out by September of 2024. That's when the hard expiration date on those funds occurs. And so that resource for us basically is going away. Now, we've been pretty careful since the start of COVID and the onslaught of federal money to be pretty careful about what we do with those kinds of funds and try to not use them for ongoing expenses because we knew they were going away. And so we were pretty careful about hiring long-term staff members with the funds. The staff members that we did hire were on one-year contracts, and a number of those have already been eliminated from district employment rules. We also used COVID funding for a lot of just basic expenditures in the district that it was intended for, like cleaning supplies and medical equipment and technology, which we needed during school closures when we had kids trying to do remote learning. But that funding source has been a nice safety net or savings account, if you want to call it that, that we've been able to rely on when unexpected expenditures come up, and that rug is being pulled out from under us. The other thing that's impacting us pretty seriously is we have a literacy grant that we got 5 years ago that provides us with almost $450,000 a year, and that money has to be spent mostly on personnel. So the grant was designed and intended for us to hire people who work with kids on their reading skills, and that's what we did with it. That was the fourth or fifth grant in a series of reading and literacy grants that the district has been the benefactor of since 2001, going all the way back to the days of Reading Excellence and Reading First under the Bush administration. So those have been significant grants. They've impacted the district in an incredibly positive way. We were always optimistic that there would be another round of grants that we could apply for on the literacy front, and there's just nothing coming up from the U.S. Department of Education to replace that grant, and so that funding is going away, and we have a significant number of people that are being paid with that money that we need to figure out another way to staff that. Another unusual one that will probably surprise you is our enrollment's down this year. This surprised us, and 2 years ago, you might remember, I know Wes and Kelly came to several meetings at the district where we were talking about infrastructure. We hired an architecture firm to work on our long-range plan with us and give recommendations about what we could do to manage the growth that's coming to East Helena. And in those days, we were increasing our enrollment by 3 to 5, maybe 6 students a month. This year, our enrollment's down 45 kids from where we were last year, which is kind of baffling to me, especially when you see all the houses just right north of the Fair School there. You would think that we're being overrun with children, but we're not right now. A lot of people ask me why that is. There's a couple weird factors, one being we graduated a pretty large senior class last year, and we enrolled a pretty small kindergarten class last year, so that is part of what's impacting us. But we also believe we're being impacted by an increase in homeschooling, particularly among elementary age kids, and that kind of started during COVID, and I think a lot of families tried it out and decided that they liked it and it worked for them, and they're continuing with that. We also are becoming pretty keenly aware that a number of people that are relocating to East Helena and the newer subdivisions that are being built are retirees or people that are past their child-raising years and aren't bringing kids with them to enroll in schools, which is not something that we necessarily expected, because East Helena's kind of always been a landing pad for young families. So that's been a little bit of a surprise to us. We don't see that as a long-term trend of losing students, but it was a one-year thing. And school budgets at their base are based on your number of kids you have enrolled in your school. And so when you see a significant decline like that, it has a pretty significant impact on your budget authority. And then we're dealing with inflation, just like everybody else, and wage pressure. Our employees want to be paid a living wage. We're struggling to keep up with things together, when we looked at it together at the board, we projected a possible $1.2 million deficit going into next year. There's a lot of variables in that number, things like negotiations and staff pay, which haven't been settled, or our annual health insurance increase, which we're having a hard time pinning down, but we were told to prepare for as much as 15% for a health insurance increase, so that's what we planned. When we looked at how to balance that, one of the things that we studied was that just the number of people who are leaving the district every year, we get a lot of resignations, and the school board, when they saw that we had a deficit facing us, they did decide to offer an early retirement incentive, so that retires out some of our highest paid employees and gives us an opportunity to replace those people with less experience but lower paid employees. And so when we added up all the attrition or vacancy savings from people that were leaving, we came up with a number that was just a little over $1.1 million. And so the most logical way of thinking there would be, well, if we just don't hire anybody to replace the people that left, we might be able to balance the budget. But the problem with that is the people that are leaving operate some really important programs in the district, like our ag program, or our foods and nutrition classroom at the middle school, or our computer education classroom at the middle school. They're just some examples of those types of positions. Even the business teacher position, we have another business teacher at the high school, but their classes are full right now, so if we don't hire that other business position, we've got upwards of 100 kids who aren't getting to business classes and training at the high school that they really need to be successful and to be able to contribute to society. So the board looked at all those positions. We did select several of them, like a school counselor and an instructional coach and some elementary positions that we felt like we could live without. And they identified those five bullet points there as positions that they really wanted to try and preserve for the school district and programs that they wanted to try and preserve. And when we added up what it would cost to staff those positions again for next year, we came up with a levy amount of $387,000. So that's the amount that's on the ballot that you're going to see. The general fund levies are permanent levies. It's not a levy with a sunset on it that goes away after 5 or 10 years, and that language has to be in the ballot language because it's a permanent levy, but that's also something that kind of scares people when they see it in terms of their property taxes, and I totally get that. So the cuts that I talked to you about, we've identified over $500,000 in cuts. If the levy doesn't pass, we're going to really struggle to keep those five programs or positions that are listed there. I think it'll be nearly impossible. We might be able to, I was just talking with Ron at the start of the meeting, we might be able to save that ag program. I think that's a huge priority in East Helena. And it was a huge priority in getting the school going. And our FFA program is doing great across the state when they go out and compete. So we'd like to try and keep some of that alive, but it's just going to really challenge us to be able to do that. At the very bottom of the sheet is our estimated tax impact. Keep in mind that's based on this year's taxable valuation, not next year's, which probably will maybe increase a little bit. And that'll drop the number of mills and probably drop the impact a little bit. We are required now to give that tax impact on $100,000, $300,000, and a $600,000 taxable value home. That's not your market value. And so the dollar amounts are there between $16 and $100 a year is what the levy would cost if it passes, depending on the value of your home. So that's my basic summary, and then I just wanted to be available for questions if folks have questions. The levy or anything else on the school district, to be honest.
Do you plan on raising that minimum wage that you mentioned? Is that part of this?
We're in negotiations right now. So we're... I can't let the cat out of the
bag. No. You had mentioned it.
Yeah. I can assure you that pay is one of the interest items that's on the table. So.
Well, I'll just start with, I appreciate you coming down and just going over the thing. It's valuable for people to have the noble conversation. I think these are good forums to use and to give people some exposure to what you're facing. I'm going to open up to the public request.
penny dollar amount. It's been years.
Years, yeah. And we haven't had a voted levy in 7 or 8 years. We've had a couple bonds that passed, and the products of those bonds are sitting just north of us here on Valley Drive, Ridley Fair Elementary, and Eastona High School. The one thing about the bonds, and I was telling Ron this before the meeting, is
the state of Montana sets a maximum budget amount for our East Carolina school district. What percent, that's 100%, what percent between 80%, which is the bare minimum that we dare use, and 100%, what's the percent of the budget that the school district has out of 100?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So, like Ron's saying, that the way the funding formula is set up, we have to spend to that 80% level, and that's part of that equalization lawsuit from the 90s. It's been around forever, and the most we can ask for under the formula is 100%, so we're sitting at 86.7%. So we're just about a third of the way to that max cap, and that, in one sense, that's a really good situation for us to be in, because when we do need a levy, we're still able to ask for it. A lot of districts, if they're at 100%, they actually can't even if their voters said we want to pass a levy, they wouldn't be able to ask for it. But the other thing is, if you look at the state report card on the OPI website, you'll see that the average per pupil spending across the state of Montana is around $13,500 a year. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me. And East Helena is, we're at about $10,200 per student. And when you look at the state average being 13.5, that means half the districts in the state are significantly above that. And we're almost $2,000 below that in terms of what we spend in East Helena. So we're running a pretty tight ship already. I mean, this is a very efficient school district, and part of that is just our structure with grade level schools and the, you know, the closeness of all our properties. But we're in a kind of a tight bind right now.
Any further public comment or questions for Dan here?
I just have, I don't have a piece of paper, but I don't think you have that. Yeah. But do you got a cost breakdown, like for how much for salaries and benefits, like for the superintendent, the principal, vice principal, management people versus the teachers? Do you have a cost?
In terms of percentages?
No, in terms of actual dollars. Well, where this money is actually going to go.
Yeah.
You're asking for these bills.
So this money is going to these positions.
Okay.
Yeah.
The deficit that you had previously, that you're running this deficit on, you got to break down how much is going to like superintendents versus management versus the actual teacher.
No, I think that if you add up, if you're talking about pure salaries, your
salaries, benefits, just the costs.
Yeah, you're looking at about $750,000 for your administrative costs, and you're looking at a little over $7 million for just teacher salaries. That doesn't include teacher aides, bus drivers, kitchen staff, any of that.
So how many kids do you need to actually bring
in terms of
additional kids? You're saying you're running a deficit. Do you even have the capacity to break in?
I don't know if we can use the capacity yet. At about $8,000 a kid, what have we got to come up with to make 450 kids?
How many kids are you down?
About 45.
kids are from the surrounding area.
You mean non-district?
Yeah, non-resident kids?
Non-resident.
Yeah, about 250.
Now, how much are their families paying in to have them?
They pay about.
Into the school, but are they going to be? Is the price going to be raised to them and their children?
So we did increase it last year, and we can't charge them next year. And that is the new state law, House Bill 203, which actually requires us to be more open to non-resident enrollees than we already are. So that's part of the school choice laws that were passed by the legislature last year. Before that, districts had the option to have basically a closed shop where they did not take any non-resident students, or an open shop where they did accept them, but they had some parameters. We have fewer parameters to be able to say no under the new law than we did under the old one. And under the old rules, we were able to charge a tuition for those non-resident students. Under the new rules, we don't charge the parent, but instead their home district pays us a fee.
So you receive the A and the B funding for each student?
Yeah, we do, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so it's, I mean, it's really a double-edged sword, and East Helena is in a really unique situation with that because we're so close to Canyon Prairie Road, which is Helena Public Schools, and the Jefferson County line, which is obviously Jefferson, North Jefferson County.
Yeah, no, I'm just thinking of the burden of the citizens of
right.
Helena, their own things they go.
Right, absolutely.
Retirees and all of that.
Yeah.
But they would receive state funding for each of those students.
If they weren't here, we wouldn't. Yep. And that would have been close to $2 million in budget. Could be a little bit devastating for us. So the board's been working pretty hard to manage that. That's one of the things that we looked at with the facility study is as new residents move in, can we tell the non-resident students, thanks but no thanks, you can't come here anymore. The answer to that is probably yeah, but like I was saying with the new, so we're learning about this new House Bill 203 law. The school boards had to go through and make some changes to their strategic plan to be able to have the language to legitimately say, no, you can't come here, because the intent of the law is for a parent to be able to decide, I want to take my kid anywhere, and the school district can't tell me no. And so, we have that put together pretty well, but we expect that there's going to be some lawsuits about it.
So how do you prioritize the kids in the district come first?
Yeah,
so
they have to be have to
required by law.
Yeah. So you can turn them away once you get them passed.
Yeah, okay. If we have the right language in our strategic plan and documentation.
But you can't, no funding source associated with that.
So we get A and B funding for those kids from the state.
Does that offset the cost of any?
It's the same funding you would get for any kid in the district.
Yeah.
It's the exact same.
Yeah. And then the part that the local taxpayers will pay, this is the part of the law that's actually beneficial for East Helena, is because the part that local East Helena taxpayers would pay for that kid is now paid by, say, the Helena Public Schools or Montana City or towns.
Except all the Walmart.
That's all local.
Any other questions for Dan? I got a couple. And it's kind of dovetails with everyone. With the House Bill we referenced and the open, I'm going to call it open enrollment, unless pseudo open enrollment, but it's not Missoula.
Right.
With the open enrollment and, you have a 45 student deficit from the previous year, I know that the current senior class is probably the smaller class you're going to have. And so next year, the high school is going to be that capacity, basically.
Yeah, we have a big ninth grade class coming and then a big seventh grade class coming up behind them.
So with that and, projections, so projecting whatever the kindergarten class and whoever, I think you have an attractive product, let's put it that way.
Right.
So I think too, with open enrollment, when I talk to people that have kids coming up that are, haven't been able to get into this district because it's been kind of hard to get in with the numbers. But kids that now that are like in, like say Montana City area or Clancy or neighboring Helena areas, this product's attractive to them to get into here, get with the new high school and get there and get their kids enrolled here in the future. And that being allowed with the legislature, you anticipate the same deficit next year, or do you have some kind of projection for that?
Well, so Monday was the deadline for applications.
Okay.
For non-residents.
Okay.
Under the new board policy. And I don't have the numbers on the top of my head, but new applications at the high school were pretty low, lower than I expected. Because we usually see a pretty good number trying to get in as ninth graders, particularly from Montana City. But I think, you know, we had a kind of a dust up with non-resident kids a year and a half ago, and the board sent a letter to all non-resident parents saying, hey, it's not a guarantee that you're going to be able to keep your kid here year over year from here on out because we've got so many new residents moving in.
And that was prior to the legislation.
Yeah. And so immediately after we did that, the number of new ninth grade applications dropped significantly, probably by 60% or more, that we used to get between 10 and 30 in a year. And, you know, high school's only been around for a few years, but when we first got going, we were getting a bunch of requests. And then that dropped here, and Jefferson High went way up. Like, their enrollment jumped almost 30 or 40 students. And all of a sudden, that became a lot more attractive option for kids living in Montana City. So it was, ended up kind of being a good thing for them. And with the enrollment surge coming towards the high school,
I think that the knowledge of that House bill isn't really out there yet. I don't think that the general public
totally
is really aware of that. There's some.
Yeah. But I also think we've got language in place that protects us to be able to say no. If we're hitting capacities, we can still turn people away.
Okay.
And that was our biggest concern with it when it was going through the legislature, was you're putting us in a position where we're going to have to go to our local taxpayers and ask them to build a bond for a new school for kids that parents don't even pay the bond. That's not right. And so they did go back and put what they call quality education language in the bill. And so the board had to go back and define that in their strategic plan, and they set those numbers at 2 below the state maximums in all grade levels and classrooms. So that insulates us a little bit from just getting overrun, but it still creates a weird priority thing that we have to, you know, go through a priority list to qualify.
So you don't have at this time projections for next year in regards
to
overall enrollment and how it would come to.
Yeah, I think we'll see a rebound. Only because we expect an average kindergarten class coming in, and like you said, we've got a below average high school senior class in terms of they're not below average as we told, they're just below average in terms of the number of kids. So there's about 99 seniors that are going to graduate, and last I checked, we were at 90 applications for kindergarten, and that puts us on track if we get a bunch over the summer to have what we expect between 110 and 130 kindergartners next year. So we'll see an increase in A&P, probably just from that.
Cool. Yeah. Is it for me? Any other questions, Kevin?
I just always appreciate you, Dan, and appreciate the conservative nature of the budgeting with these on public schools, and of course the education. So thanks for coming. Thanks for sharing your information with us today.
Thanks for having me.
All right, that brings us to our second presentation. This is printing out the parks plan. We have our main man Brad and his new trusted sidekick Colin Sassano. Go easy on Colin. This is his first public speaking, I'm told. He did survive a summer with Pursley, so I think he can handle talking to you. So he should be able to make it through this, right?
I'm going to do a quick introduction. If that's all right.
Yeah, go ahead. Floor is yours, Brad.
So, just so everybody's aware, my name is Brad Koenig. I'm with Robert Fetch and Associates. And we're going to talk a little bit tonight about the parks plan. And really, this is just an introduction to it. So we haven't gotten real far. I think we've tried to stagger the water, wastewater, and some of these things over time here. Guys, a break. So tonight we're just going to talk about our first inventory that we've taken. We've met with Kevin and Kelly and
talk about a few things, and we're just going to go through an inventory tonight. You know, as the city grows, your parks are going to see a lot more use, have a lot more demand. Probably going to have people wanting different amenities, different things. So this is just kind of whet your guys' appetite about where you guys want to go with parks. And tonight we're going to mostly talk about some of our new parks or some of our existing parks, where there are going to be new parks, and just kind of go over, you know, what we see as far as some needs in those existing parks and where this might want to go. So we're going to have some further discussions. This is just a kind of a precursor to some later meetings that we'll have, and we'll put together a full plan that includes a lot of your guys' priorities and preferences then. So with me tonight is Colin Sassano. So he's done a lot of this work, and I'm really going to sit down and watch the show along with you guys tonight. So I'll turn it over to Colin.
Like Brad said, my name is Colin Sassano. I'm with RPA. And I'll just kind of start with an overview of the existing parks. And we kind of put each park in a different category, starting with community parks. That would include both Main Street Park and JFK. These are your, you know, anything from a picnic to a big community event with playground equipment, picnic tables, equipment. And then obviously you got the city pool, and this is more of a seasonal park that has plenty of expenses. You have Schiller Field, which is a baseball and softball field that the city maintains. And then we have a cemetery that's kind of new and still kind of figuring out how to deal with that. And lastly, the trail system, which is co-managed by Crick and Pear Land Trust, East Hamo School District, and the city. And then for future parks, I'll just kind of go through an overview of these. Vigilante subdivision is complete. At least the civil parts of it are, and that has dedicated parkland already. Highland Meadows is currently in phases 4 and 5. The final phases are in construction, and that too has some dedicated parkland. And lastly, kind of longer term, is Prickly Pear Estates, which is a big development, and that there'll be plenty of parkland there to deal with down the road. So I guess I'll just start by kind of going through an inventory of each park. I'll just go through an inventory of each park, starting with Main Street Park, and just kind of go over what we identified in our walkthrough, areas that we could improve. So the picnic tables were kind of a big item to talk about. Just as you can see in the picture on the left, I don't know, it's kind of hard to see, but there's a blue table, and then there's a brown Kiwanis table, and they're just kind of scattered and don't match. And then the picture on the right is one of the new standardized concrete tables that they have down at JFK Park, and I think we'd like to move towards implementing those if we can. We talked about installing speakers in the pavilion just to kind of improve and enhance that facility and give opportunities for maybe speakers or for whatever it may be at this facility and some of the larger community events that might happen. Some fencing. The picture there, that wood fence, we identified replacing that, but Kevin already took care of that. There's a nice new chain link fence that I saw when I drove by on my way here. So that's taken care of. But there is an old chain link fence on the west side along the Prickly Pear Creek there that's kind of nearing the end of its useful life and in need of replacement. One thing we did talk about was the murals that are there. I guess coming up with a plan to either keep them there or not just leave them for dead. There's kind of no rhyme or reason there. And maybe just discuss how we want to approach that in the future.
Questions from Al, or do you want us to wait till the end?
Yeah, feel free to.
This is information only. Okay.
no gap, so
no,
the
no
kids
gap.
Could, you know, could get through Roland Creek. No. Okay, thank you.
Playground equipment. Right now, there's a jungle gym. There's some swings. And then the picture on the right, there's a tetherball hole with no rope or ball. There's a four-sided basketball hoop that never gets used. And so we talked about just taking those two out and then replacing the playground equipment as it's reached the end of its life as well. So the parking lot to the south side of the park is... It's a gravel lot, but there's weeds growing, and it could use an improvement. So regardless, it'd be nice to clean that area up. One thing we did discuss was possible pickleball location. There is kind of a demand nowadays, I guess kind of a fad, pickleball over tennis. And we did kind of a preliminary layout, and this seems to be a good area to fit at least one or two pickleball courts. So that's an option as well. Informational boards and the dedicated plaques are something that would be good to kind of get a plan nailed down. The dedicated plaques can kind of be a tripping hazard. Sometimes there's not really a rhyme or a reason. So just kind of coming up with a standardized way to how we want to approach that situation, along with the informational boards. They're tough to maintain and get the mower around. And do they provide much value? Just maybe they do, but just discuss if we want to, what we want to do with those. Veterans Memorial is missing a bench. Just replace the bench. Restore symmetry.
Yeah,
it got broke.
All got broken.
Yeah, broken half.
It's granite.
Not very strong.
Personally.
Move on to JFK, which, again, the picnic tables, there are some concrete East Helena tables already there, but there are some of the Kiwanis and other tables there. Another thing was some of these tables are kind of on a concrete island in the middle of the grass, so maybe doing a concrete pad out to just provide more ADA opportunities for folks. Parking lot is in rough shape. Replacing that is a priority, I think. The bathrooms are also in rough shape. That picture on the right, you can see that's the corner of the building, kind of where the roof meets the wall there, and it's kind of falling apart. And they're also not ADA compliant, so I think just replacing these entirely is the only solution. Playground equipment, again, it's old and it's at the end of its life for usability. And there's also a chain link fence that we talked about maybe wiping out and putting some sort of curbing in. There's plenty of ideas here. Tennis court is over by the pool there, and it's the concrete's poured in two separate slabs, and the one on the west side is cracking in that corner in the right picture. You can see it's tilted up, and that could be replaced, as well as this was another location we identified as potential pickleball court, so that is an option as well. And this was also taken care of by Kevin, but just that building wasn't seeing much use, so it just clearing that out of the way.
Is that called that code?
With a air sampling station.
Horseshoe pits, they're old. I don't know how much use they really get, but just figuring out what we want to do there, whether it's replace them or or just take them out. So the AARP Fitness Park was not built by the city, but it is a city maintained, so just coming up with a plan that, that if something does go wrong there, that we have the resources to be able to tend to it is important. Again, informational boards, they get a lot of scratches on them. I don't know. Just coming up with a definite plan of do we want these or do we want to do anything.
I wasn't paying the bidders.
You were
thinking you did more.
You were sure loving the camera.
I'll take another.
Very photogenic. Oh boy. I apologize.
So on to the city pool. We thought it'd be good to add some shade to those bleachers just for a place for parents to get out of the sun if they're watching their kid at swimming lessons or whatever the case may be.
The top part there looks pretty shiny.
Next slide.
The bike rack, it's big. I don't know how many bikes really fill that thing up, and it too is reach the end of its life. I don't know if that's something we want to replace, but you know, just options there. So onto the trail system. As I shortly mentioned earlier, co-managed with the school district and Cricket Fair Land Trust. There were a few improvements that we had talked about. The photo on the right is a city-maintained portion that kind of goes along Cricket Fair Creek there in JFK Park, and it's in rough shape. It doesn't have the same surfacing as the other trails. You can see the other trails have nice all-weather surfacing, while that is kind of just rough and not as good of a shape. Another thing was just generally coming up with a plan to work together with all three parties, just for maintenance, and then connecting a few trails to make more of them. So this is difficult to see, but hopefully gets the point across. The blue, if you can see it, is on the left side of the screen, and that's the Prickly Pear Land Trust portion. The green stuff is all the school district, and the red is managed by the city. And I guess up by the wastewater plant, in between the wastewater plant and the football field there, there's a corner that's green, which is the school district. We talked about connecting that trail all the way over to the blue section over on Prickly Pear Land Trust.
The plan to have it be from that end of that loop there, where that's teed off right there, that part where we basically
this is kind of where the dedicated parkland is, so I mean, eventually we would like to do a trail that connects through the park. Very nice.
Yeah. On to the baseball field, Schiller Park. There's a curb stop and a valve box that are just in the way. It would be nice to get those at ground level and just tidy things up. There's also a storage shed in center field that's just in rough shape and needs to be replaced. And then we had also talked about adding kind of a grass barrier there between the fence on the third baseline and Kalispell Avenue, just to make things look tidy. Cemetery, I realize it's kind of new to the city and still figuring out what to do with it, but just developing a general plan to move forward. So here's an overview of the dedicated land that both Highland Meadows and Vigilante already have. The one on the left is Highland Meadows, and it's big. And the reason for that primarily is because all of that is in the floodplain. So there's plenty of area to kind of figure out what you guys want to do with there and come up with a cool facility for the public to use.
Just a, I believe we only have to take
the Yeah, that, the rest of that, I believe, is the school districts.
Yeah, I think the park is a corner at the northwest corner there, and a huge chunk of that is. Are you talking about that red trapezoid there, Kim?
Yeah.
Big chunk of that. I thought it was going to sign over the school.
I think you're right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I apologize. Oh, it's okay. It's a little confusing, and nothing is settled.
Vigilante is on the right, and there is a stormwater pond there, but there's plenty of good land there to come up with a good plan as well. So for the Vigilante Subdivision Park, we talked about concrete tables, East Helena branded, doing a grass area. Think about trees and shade trees versus privacy barriers. It'll also need a water service for sprinklers and some small playground equipment. Would be nice. Kevin had also brought up an ice skating rink at this location, just for you guys to think about. A lot of the same here, Highland Meadows. I think it'd probably be a little bit still bigger than the other one, but just area to put grass and trees and picnic tables and figure out a good plan that people can enjoy. And lastly, I just wanted to talk about a few issues that we went over last summer. One being just a general parks plan, both for maintenance and capital improvements. Paid memorials, how do we want to approach and manage that? And possibly doing some park use permits for larger groups using the parks, just so there's no favoritism on who gets to use it and who doesn't. And with that, I don't have any questions.
Colin, good job. Start with the public. Any public questions regarding our informational stuff regarding the park plan? This is all just information, kind of tell us what we have right now and some ideas that we know that those going to come to for discussion.
Close comment. If you guys decided to get rid of those murals on that chain link fence at Main Street, I think those were done by the art group or the high school, so she'd probably appreciate just getting them back.
I don't think it's anything we plan on taking down anytime soon. The idea is, I mean, they're just on particle board.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they painted them and they cleared them, and the ones there and that are mounted on the building of the old farm that's all behind Smith.
Right.
They're holding up good, but at some point.
Right, they're not going to last
forever. They're not going to last forever. So the idea is, when do we take them down and how do we do that?
Yep, understood.
We just didn't want them bad public.
Right.
So, you know, they wouldn't rip down the signs that our kids painted, you know. So,
understood.
Yeah, totally.
Any other questions from the public?
I got one question. How much did this plan cost? You guys got to ask for
it. So we budgeted $20,000 this year. We probably won't spend quite all of that, but we budgeted $20,000 to start a parks master plan. Yeah. That's what we budgeted.
Cost-effective budget, along with a future funding source, needs to be identified. This is really optimistic.
not address any area. When we come to that, I know that we have the school district here right now, and they'll be needing land for schools in those places as well. I think it's an opportunity for us to work together with them to maybe find joint use park and school spaces and spaces for those things. I think there's some possibility there. I think that, you know, what they need is whatever which actual functional field is or what you need to on. So I think that as we move forward with the future work that they work with you guys, I think some good guide.
Yeah, tremendous opportunity.
That would be my comments. Not the whole thing. I think there's an opportunity here for us to really kind of have a joint effort with you guys.
Yeah.
Significant land dedication, the parks associated with those, and I think that schools are going to be necessary as well. There's but we can't. The city, we're going to talk about some of the things working together and joint stuff would be a great opportunity.
Yeah, some common interests in that. And one thing you notice with any of that stuff that gets developed, like the trails and stuff, too, is just the use. You see people out there all the time. So, you know, it makes it more attractive.
I can think of a few tangible benefits to me following my kids around sports in the spring all the time, but one of them is I get to see every city's parks. And there's some good stuff out there. With Billings this past weekend, they have some unique stuff. Like tax break, they have some really usable and functional stuff. We'll have some stuff like that. Well, Belgrade area. Attached to the building, what I mean to that was this incredible walking trail around a water area that was, I think, kind of reminiscent to what they're planning on here. So
yeah.
I think there was some, maybe you would see it all again, just have that exposure, give you some ideas.
So part of what we did here, the intent of this plan, this is just, frankly, an initial assessment. The plan will actually be something that's actionable through this subdivision process, both in Gillian and Highland. They have made SID for parks. So the intent of when we do get the plan in place is to have enough detail that we can use that as the basis for developing a special improvement district in those two subdivisions to capture their parks. As far as the current parks and the list of deficiencies or areas we'd like to improve, that's a different ball of wax. And then moving forward with the subdivision prickly pear over there, and that's huge, and there's another one over here. Those are things that are coming. But for now, Vigilante's done. That park has been dedicated. Highland Meadows Park is dedicated, but they're not done. Subdividing, they have not done final plat on phase, whatever, five or so. Yeah, but it's coming, and I think those guys will be chomping at the bit given the current market. So again, one, initial assessment. Two, to really prompt you guys as the council to identify things that you like or would like to see in those parks. I mean, like you mentioned the ice skating rink out of Vigilante, there's a potential there. If you see what that looks like in the other, in Helena, those turn into kind of dirt fields. One of them is sort of a basketball court in the summer. Anyway, be thoughtful about how things you'd like to see. A lot of things have been brought up that I think it was your grandkids that came in and talked about the bike trail thing. There's space. Yeah, north of the pool. They're kind of thinking there's already dirt that's collected there, but this would be the time to make those comments, especially on those two subdivisions, because we are going to have an opportunity to bond the improvements through an SID and move forward on that rather quickly so that we're not just sitting with empty space.
A couple things for budgeting. This is helpful as we do that process this summer, but I think that critical needs that we have are important that should be put in the budget that we cut later, but so that we can get a feel for what that may look like. The bathrooms at JFP Park, I think, need to be a priority because they have been and have been cut from years past. But and then another thing for the parks plan in the future is not allowing the parks to be in the far corner of each subdivision going forward. Because although possibly those are some pieces that are important, at least I think
just mentioned that Main Street Park, noise is an issue with those, and that's adjacent to people's homes. So JFK seems to make more sense with that, because the people do complain. Just thought-wise, I saw it on there, like, but we're just going to set ourselves up for complaints down the road, so maybe focus on that whole tennis ball court.
Judy doesn't mind noise.
I don't just,
know. Not yet.
My only thought with that was when you do have groups that use the pavilion, then it fills up with cars.
Is in common. If you just Google it, noise from pickleball is very annoying.
Just Google it.
Let's
Google it. I would say I know the school district has a pressing need for a baseball field. And our kids don't have that really option. Their park is at best a little league field. That's at best. Currently monitoring the Gopher field. Gopher's a nice one too. Yeah, it's not great for that. But so the city has some needs for some functional fields like that. I think there's some opportunity. I know that those kind of items like that are more what our children need.
So I was just going to make one comment, Kelly. We put this together just to what you're upset about, what you have now and what's imminent. I think this is going to get to be a lot more of an actionable thing, like Pete said. We'll come up with, we need some direction from you, not tonight, but going forward. Where you all want this to go, and then we'll come up with some really, some better drawings and details about where things could go and how much these cost and how these can be funded and some of those different issues. But we just wanted to kind of give you an inventory, kind of what your appetite about what's out there and what some of the just basic needs are. And of course, these things cost money, so we're going to need to just get some priority, later from you. But that was kind of our intent tonight, was just to start. Just wanted to mention that.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. We've had lots of presentations about tonight. We get to work now. Next up is public comment. This is the time for public comment on all non-agenda items. We've had a bit of a elongated night tonight, so we got some more things coming up. Let's try to keep all public comment limited to 4 minutes. I'll take all public comment on non-agenda items right now. Is there any public comment on non-agenda items?
Sorry, this is just me. Dave Jensen, 401 scale. Now that the 200 block of East Pacific Streets has been identified for seal and cover, when is the concrete curb and the sidewalks falling and cracking going to be addressed, repaired, and replaced? Hopefully, that replacement repair will occur prior to the full width seal and cover being completed, so the scenario on East Pacific Streets
comment on non-agenda items. Seeing none, move to the approval of the minutes. In your packet, you have the April 2nd, 2024 minutes in front of you. I will now take any public comment regarding those minutes. Seeing none, council. Motion to approve the minutes as presented.
Second.
And a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Brings the city court report. We don't have anything. Departmental reports is up now. We'll start with Amy.
The Firemen's Relief Association received $6,854 from the state auditor, that part that they collect for them. We'll do that as a claim so they can put it in their bank account to fund their retirements. Highland Meadows has added another zoning and building, a vigilante, another two. Last time I reported, they'd done a big spring jump, but they're still bringing in more. And Red Fox Meadows is at 191 connections still. And yeah, if you haven't seen the gym yet, go have a look. We've had kids basically stalking and watching the door for when it'll be open. They're excited. And, probably the kid that shows up the most showed up today and got to be the first to use the hoops. He liked that. So.
When were those installed?
The really old hoops?
Oh, the old hoops?
I think they came with the school, man.
Yeah. I bet those are from the 40s, maybe. I think just the ages of like the style of them, they're old.
Yeah, the way they were mounted into the trusses, like I would imagine they could have been.
Oh yeah.
Sorry to derail. I was just wondering. I think it just shows too the level of care that you and your crew take in to maintain it, but that we try and use everything literally to its last.
Did we keep those hoops so we can install them at the park?
We did not. I apologize.
Do you want them?
Some of that other playground equipment was looking pretty good to me, though.
Yeah, I was like, yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, you bet. That's all I had, unless you had questions.
Thanks, Amy. Chief Sanders has a written report there for you just regarding the call to service.
I have money in the budget that we realize until I did the hours. He's pushing 2,000 hours on that machine, which is about, I think it was right at like 40 weeks of nonstop holding. And the thing is, I think what Steve does is he drives to the park, he starts it up, and he mows all day. And, you know, he starts at 7 in the morning, and at 3 o'clock, he puts it on his truck and goes home. So he thinks he's a lot of use. Basketball hoops are up. Proud of the guys for that. Yes, last week was kind of a lot of weeping, you know, so there's a lot of movement and noises from the gym. Anyway, take a look at it, and I need to talk to you about solo that curve. It goes on the stage. So.
Thanks, Kev. Any questions for Kev?
Any questions?
Fire Chief Campbell is excused. We have no unfinished business. That leads us to number one in the new business, which is the East Tonto Rodeo Association request for funds. Ron is here to speak to this. I'll kind of address it a little bit before Ron takes the mic here. As you know, the creation of the rodeo grounds has had a lot of dirt move expense. Some way to recoup some of that expense was found by Ron in to sell the dirt trust group for, I don't know what they're going to do it for. Yeah, but some amount. Ultimately, the dirt is ours, though. Not there, so we have to go through the process. And they've asked us to basically give them those funds, as they are the ones that have paid for all the dirt that's sitting in the cover their cost at all. But they've improved the property and moved the dirt around. It is expected of the public funds, though, because the dirt is owned by the city and they are the leasee. So Ron would like to speak to that at this point.
Basically, Kelly stole my thunder. That's what I wanted to tell you was that the truck, or not the trust, but the East Tonto Valley Rodeo Association has spent in excess of $500,000 in order to improve the site at the city's property, which is currently the lease that you granted to us. We had to get rid of the topsoil in order to make the park. And you can't have topsoil for a rodeo ground. So it had to be removed. And so it was going somewhere somehow. And it just turned out that the trust offered to take it to use once the slide pile's gone, which I think is going to be next week. I walked over by there today and the front side's gone. It's amazing. Anyway, they're going to take the dirt that is not usable in any lawn in the state of Montana, which wet levels exceed just over 200. They need soils of 650 parts per million to cover the slag pile. Once the zinc has been removed, they're going to level it out, round it out, make it look like anaconda. So, welcome to Anaconda, Montana, East Town.
Would it have a golf course?
They, I don't know. They could use it.
Yeah,
they could
golf
use it for
yeah.
Golf course. It's low enough for recreational.
Well, I think about
you
it.
Want
okay.
I,
in slang.
I was working on that plan.
You could even have a little vigilante.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be great. We could light them up at Christmas time, too.
They had a flag up there for a while. I'm not going to say you'll put it up there.
But, but they're hauling away all the part where we were going to put the EH.
Yeah.
It's going away. There must be a lot of sick in there. Anyway, what we're asking is just simply that you allow us to continue to use the funds that we took a lot of time and effort to get. Yeah, it'll be enough to help. There's a 11,000 cubic yards of topsoil, so it'll be a decent amount of money.
All this is for permission to all put in trust to write the check out together for us to turn over the road and look at the request. It's very simple, it's very straightforward, and I would support it. I believe they've improved the property that is ours.
big figure to the $38,500 worth. So great for me. Any public comment on the request? Seeing none, council. Motion to approve.
Second.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
There you go. Thanks, Ron.
Again, this is where it got up up here, everyone.
We already handled new business number two. Mary is gone. We approved that, so we'll go to new business number three. Kevin, this is an action item. I wouldn't say it's really an action item. You would like guidance on whether or not you guys have an interest in, during the budgeting process, seeking something like this text by Gov. You have a proposal here. You guys want to speak to it?
Yeah, we'll speak to it. So the idea behind this is Amy and I just wanted to present this to you guys, because if you hate it, then we're not going to include it in this temporary budget. But if you like it, and Amy and I love it, we want to include it in the budget. It's not very much money. But TechMyGov, it's similar to what Dan uses with the school district. You know, it's just a way to text blast out to either the entire community or parts of the community, whatever you pinpoint down to, what you know, either how big or how small, and just get out information. You know, for me, public works-wise, it's if we have water main breaks, you know, we can literally focus on that one or two blocks that is affected and just text residents and say, hey, you know, water main break, water's off, blah, 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 blah. If the garbage truck breaks down, we can send out texts. If you know, in a greater thing, we can send out texts as far as like, you know, reminders for the Christmas stroll, Halloween stroll, that kind of stuff. We sat through a presentation. It has a lot of perks in the areas that we struggle with. Really, other than putting something on our website, we have no way of, currently with water main breaks and stuff, we just have our guys knock on doors and door hanger things. It's not the most effective thing that we do. So there's a one time, the first year is $2,250. After that, it's $1,500 a year. Really minimal costs. No, that's a...
Could I put that on there?
Oh, I put the wrong amount. So there's a one time setup fee of $750 plus the $1,500. So your initial year is and after that,
This is just.
And again, all this is just if you guys aren't opposed to offering a software program, whether it's this exact company or something like this, to residents, we plan on doing that extension because fresh operationally, being able to just choose stuff out for residents. How often do you use it?
Seems like,
yeah,
I think somebody.
Seems like it. It's a lot. So
yeah, people sign up for it.
Yeah, you don't have to be part of it. Right. That's crucial. You don't have to be. It's an opt-in. That's very
important. Yeah, and when we met with them, they said that the way that works is they send out, they like, however they acquire all the phone numbers that they send it to, but that initial blast is they send it out as like, do you want to opt in or out? That's when people have the option to opt out. And then, I mean, if they change their mind, they can call us and opt out, however that is. But there is that initial mass text that goes out and says, you know, explains, you know, like, hey, this is the sound that you want to get text from us or whatever it says. It's all good.
So,
yeah, it's awesome.
Also, you guys can have them, and, you know, put this in the budget, and as you receive a more holistic view of the budget, you could cut it like any else.
Yeah. It's not as much as it costs. It's just if you think the program is something that would be valuable to residents, just say, absolutely, don't want to offer that.
So you have this approved in our table, but are we...
Just that you like the idea of...
Okay, you want Kevin and Amy to spend their time.
The contract began.
Not
okay.
Yeah. Is there any public comment on the request?
I'm
sure.
For cell phones. You can buy a cell phone.
Not
that. Don't
add much more.
No.
Don't have anything to do with cell phones.
Any other public comment? Council.
Not really an app you put on your phone. Just get an alert like you might get a missing child alert.
Text.
I don't think it's that intrusive. It's more like a text message.
Yeah, but that kind of thing.
It's not that missing child one. That thing. And you get the busy office when that goes off.
But it's that sort of a thing.
Yeah. It literally just dings your phone like a text message, and it just has like a, like the school's comes up as a 5 or 6 digit number. And I mean, it's from the school.
You can put, there's a bear by the creek. Those
you've
instances.
Done that one every year. You've been in attention.
Or a link, you can have a link so that if there's something greater that they want to say,
yeah.
think city has adopted blank, go to this, click on this link, and it'll take you to the information.
But it's not like a public emergency thing, so you have to opt in. It's not like a few years ago we got that ballistic missile incoming one. That was
it's nothing.
A little bit scary.
It's nothing like that. I mean, you can use, I mean, we could use, I mean, you know, that's, I mean, you could put messages on there like, yes, we know that, you know, creek is high, we are monitoring it to the residents that live right by the creek that are calling me nonstop in the springtime.
But also they can record it this way too, and it recognizes whether it's utility issues or road issues. It'll gather that, the report.
Mother Kevin, the pothole information.
You can't? No,
so I think this would be.
Our fill in a pothole.
Over
on rigs.
It's actually, that part of it, actually, I thought that would be horrible, but when he walked us through how they report it, like it's super easy for a resident to report it or a street light out. And honestly, if I just get text for that kind of stuff, it's easier for me than having my phone ring all the time. So, to me, it just seems like it's kind of the times that we live in that we should probably. Is that a motion to approve them seeking further budgetary reason for it? I have a motion to approve.
Second.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Request for Kennedy Park Pavilion fee waiver for Rick Pfeiffer tree dedication, June 17th. Well, we have this one in front of us. This is the family would like to use the pavilion for the tree dedication. As you know, we've approved the tree. They would like maybe some hours on the request.
They plan on a late afternoon, early evening.
Okay.
Like 12 to, I forget what that's on there. I think it's 12 until.
Right. 70. Anyway, it's a fee waiver from the Rick Pfeiffer family tree dedication. They are not a traditional nonprofit, but this is a fair request. Any public comment on the request? Council.
Motion to approve.
Second.
I have a question about this related to this. Amy, how much has been raised so far?
They started with 30, and I think they received another 60 just today.
It's a $90 tree.
Jeez. They're shooting for $100.
Yeah. So I have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Last one is the request for Kennedy Park and Pavilion waiver for school district number 9. The remainder of the school year. Now this has a school district request, but it says public works director or, but we have the main guy for the school district here.
Well, I didn't realize I was on the agenda twice.
You're not, but I figured like Kevin, I'm going to let Kevin look on this because you're kind of the guy. Basically, they walk kids.
Yeah, this is, you've seen this every single year. They take the kids down in different groups. They use the pavilion. They use water spigot. They're great. They don't leave messes. I've been here, this is a potential thing. We just like to do the right thing and ask you guys for permission not to charge us.
That being said, is there any public comment on the request for a fee waiver? Seeing none, council.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve?
Second.
And a second, all in favor?
Aye.
All right. I'll bring this to the boring part of the day. The mayor's report. Mostly been following my children around. Obviously, talked to Ron a couple times, talked to Mary a couple times over the issues you just saw. We saw those come and be handled. I did get to do some fun with Kevin yesterday. If you drove down Valley Drive and saw the white paint, you can tell by the straightness of it all how good I am at the painting go around the potholes. If you ever get bored with your day, come spend a day with Kevin on pothole day, and you will have a great exposure to the number of potholes in the town. We could use a lot of spray paint to paint around if you want us to. But it was kind of cool just to go see what some of the issues we're facing on the drive. With what Kevin and his guys do on the basis, maybe go out there and just do it. So that was what I did yesterday mostly. Was he helpful?
Yeah, I mean, I never knew how to draw the Snake River down Valley Drive in the end of paint until I see Kelly's straight line.
Next, tomorrow I'm going to do like people can eat one jump.
No, it was good.
I take it your roads
are in bad shape. No, Kevin got his paint on him. I'm not sure how. I don't know how that occurred.
Our roads really are in such bad shape. I mean, I think Kelly's Kelly would agree that it's hard to know where to start and stop with some of these patch repairs, because, I mean, every street you look at is...
You gave me a spray can, and I needed, like, a C-130 dump.
Are these markings for Cap 80?
Yeah, so we marked, so currently what we did is we marked from Dudley to 12, and that's what we're going to crack and chip seal this year, even though I know we're getting the raise grant. If we get that raise grant, we're at least 2 to 3 years before we would be in that part of construction.
Oh, you know we're getting the raise grant.
I know we're getting the raise grant.
Mr. Fudge, Ray of Sunshine.
Anyway, it's still, I mean, the water is getting in there so bad, we have to keep together somehow. So they'll do the patchwork from there, and then from Dudley north to Plant Road, I'm going to meet with Travis in the next day or two, hopefully. Just, if you've driven Valley, the frost heaps and stuff that are coming up in it is awful, and the base is awful. Even some of the patching they did last year have failed already because that base is so bad. So we're looking at just options of, can they just come in and just tack it and do like a 2-inch lift in certain spots? And I mean, the road's going to kind of do this, but we're trying to do the lowest cost impact to us that hopefully holds up the best that it can. The plan with when that raise grant is awarded, thinking positively, is that summer 26, you know, will be a 2-season construction. So summer 26 would be planned to Dudley, then summer 27 Dudley to Highway 12. So we've got to make it last. I mean, it has to be travelable, right? You guys know the traffic that I think that's every day. Plus, we have a lot of other roads that need repair that we're working on. So, so we're just trying to do that. And I'll stop. But we had some fine quality. I should have taken a picture of it.
Yeah. It was good news to go see some of the stuff we're going on. It's actually good. It was good to see what we did. Like Dizzy says, the road's up. I like the positivity about the race grant. That's the biggest thing. But let's keep our fingers crossed. That's it for me. Any questions? All right. Councilmember Dolphin?
I have nothing.
Councilmember Leland?
I also have nothing.
Councilmember Feist, you're not going to let me down.
I always have something to say. There's been a lot going on with the chamber. One of them was the Government Affairs Committee, which is on the chamber board. They had a presentation about CI 126 and CI 127, and the chamber decided to not endorse that and to remain neutral on any initiative. Did, though, however, endorse the school levy, which traditionally it always has, depending upon the levy, did for Old Town School District and East Town School District. So Dan was at that, Rex did it most of the time. So appreciated him being there. Also, Callie Asham, the president CEO of the chamber, was awarded an Empower Award through the YWCA today and was invited to go to that luncheon with them. So appreciate all that they do for the community and all of East Helena. Our MBAC meeting was canceled for today. I was looking for a meeting. And then also had coffee with the Lewiston Park County Historic Preservation. A gentleman that I know, Chris Averill, met with him today because I talked with him about the Man Love Cabin just to get his perspective, and they had a meeting tonight and they were going to bounce around some ideas of possible assistance with that in the future and their willingness and ability to help with the relocation of that. I was going to tell you about that.
Thank you, Councilmember Price. Any questions for what? No? Councilmember Ferguson?
I just have a resident ask me, and I know that Northwestern Energy replaces those three lights. But is there an update like how they were out of them? Or?
They are still experiencing shortages.
Okay.
Literally, when I ask them, they say that they're prioritizing main routes.
Okay.
And then as that inventory gets greater, they're going out from there. But
okay. Yeah, I didn't think there was anything. So. Okay. Thank you for that. That's all.
Councilor Arlena.
What we got going on? The court's been going good. The officers are still busy. That new guy's around, but like the chief's report said, he's still in the FTO program, so it'd be nice if we have that extra guy. I like seeing the park's progress report, I'd say. I think that's going to be vital for the community going forward. There's opportunities we had a bunch of folks in the room, Mary Hollow, the school district. Big ones are these subfliers, but this side of the road. So we're going to have to stick to our guns on that stuff. And I like, I was happy to hear from you. It does take, I really view that as like the initial step, but to really be thoughtful and going through those parks and thinking about what you'd like to see there and how you might view those uses. And as you go to other towns around the state, take a look at what they're doing. I mean, just stop at Dillon, you can see that park, since we'd always stop at Dillon going to Idaho Falls where my in-laws lived. And that park is, they've made huge improvements. I don't know if you've ever stopped that little central park there, but there's all kinds of stuff there now that never used to be there. Splash pad and equipment. And, so anyway, small towns around Montana are doing it. We just need to be thoughtful of what we want to see, as opposed to, like you said, with basketball, just keeping things until their last breath. There's a real opportunity here, and I just, Kevin knows how much I like to talk to him about parks. Really think
that.
And when the public takes a minute to come in and talk about wanting to ride their bikes on a little trail, that's such a low-hanging fruit. We already have a vacant lot there with mounds, like turn the dirt mounds so they can ride their bikes on. It seems like when the public takes the effort, you know, it'd be nice to be responsible on something that's that easy. So if we can include that stuff and just be thoughtful. That's my pitch. And we're at a really interesting time for the city of East Helena moving forward. The public spaces that will connect the city, I think, are important, and you guys will literally, I mean, talking to Kelly, like, JFK Park tonight is huge, Main Street Park is awesome, yeah, think of how long ago those were dedicated, and the number of public spaces that have come into the city since then is few. Like, this is a really interesting time for you guys to be able to kind of guide where the city goes. That's it.
Thank you, Pete. Any questions for Pete? None of us pay the bills today. Motion to pay the bills.
Second.
And a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Meeting adjourned at 8:06. Thank you for everybody coming out.
Public hearing.
I took my soapbox there.
Oh,
nice. Last night I talked about community community journalism.
Ooh. Hey, Kevin, I'm calling you. Is that the... Is that Kevin?
Is that the Iron Horse or whatever?
It's not.
No, it is right.
Hang on.
Yeah.
I'm going to have...